So there's a definition for the word here that I really should have included. Proverbs chapter 4 and verse 1.
Is that where we go first, Kevin?
Yeah.
Proverbs chapter 4, verse 1.
Which says, "Hear, O sons, a father's instruction, and be attentive that you may gain insight." So the word hear, use the perception of hearing with the ears to process information. Such a basic and very fundamental definition. But it seems in its simplicity that too often that we don't really think of what we're doing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, we might hear it with our ear, but we're not doing the second part in processing the information. It's so easily overlooked and forgotten because of that. And James, later on, he talks about being a hearer, or not being a hearer, rather, and being a doer of the word. But in order to be a doer, we have to first hear.
Right, don't be a hearer only.
Right. But when Jesus said that, he said to let these words sink deep into your ears, he was talking about the process of hearing, the process of doing something with what was being heard. In order for it to get deep into our ears, we have to consider who we're listening to and the words that are coming from them. Again, it kind of goes without saying, but sometimes we need a reminder. So easy, especially with so much information coming at us all day long, every day, from every direction. Mm-hmm. It's so easy to tune out a lot of things.
Sure.
But we want to have alert hearing for the Word of God.
Amen.
I think, too, that along with that is that not only do we have to hear it, but we do have to understand it.
Mm-hmm.
And we have to see it in the Word of God that it is true. And that requires not only just hearing it and believing that it is true by hearing it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like when you come to Sunday school or church, we hear something and we recognize it to be true. But it's not until we take it on as truth ourselves, and we do that by studying it out ourselves and meditating on it, and we take that on as a truth. And that mm-hmm. sinks deeper in yet than just believing something to be true. Because we can believe something to be true and go away and forget about it. Unless we do something about it, we have to apply ourselves to studying it, you know, and then we take it on to be absolute truth. And it's only then that we actually change our lives to conform to that truth.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So that even that belief, you know, whenever we're talking about believing and being believers, we're not talking about head knowledge here. We're not just talking about believing with the head or agreeing in our minds. But believing is acting. It's after the process of hearing and listening that we become believers. Because it enters through the mind and we're convinced that it is true.
Exactly.
And, you know, like it's been said so many times, the heart isn't just that part of us that is emotional, that is affected by warm feelings for God. But the heart is the organ, spiritually, that we process His Word through. Mm-hmm. It is intellectual.
Yes.
It is, you know, rational. So it takes in the Word of God, and the very fact that it is God's Word. I like that, how Paul writes to Timothy, and he talks about the Scripture, and he says, all Scripture, and I know I'm going to be jumping ahead of myself here, but it's kind of hard not to. In 2 Timothy chapter 3, in verse 16, he says, all Scripture is breathed out by God. I just love the wording, you know, because it makes it so plain, you know, and really it ought to catch our attention that it is from His mouth as though He had just spoken it.
Yes.
You know, it has never fallen silent. It's still, and Hebrews, we're told that the Word of God is active. What is that, chapter 4?
12.
4:12, yeah. So it's never become inactive. It's never, you know, we can still hear it if we have an ear for it. So it's breathed out by God. So it ought to grab our attention, that reality.
Amen.
And recognizing that, it ought to cause us to be sober. You know, it ought to cause us to be careful how and what we do with it now, how we process it. In Deuteronomy chapter 4 and verse 10, he says, "How on the day that you stood before the Lord your God at Horeb, the Lord said to me, 'Gather the people to me, that I may let them hear my words, so that they may learn to fear me all the days that they live on the earth, and that they may teach their children so.'"
Amen.
So, because the hearing of his word, he says there's a result from it, so that they may learn to fear me. Mm-hmm. So if something isn't transpiring in our lives, in our way of thinking, then we're not really hearing what the word of God is saying. If we're not being changed in our habitual daily lives,
amen,
then we really have to consider, are we really receiving the word of God? And I like the definition, kind of a modern definition, I guess, of an insanity, that we do the same thing over and over and expect different results.
Yeah.
You know, yeah. Which it makes no sense.
Right.
But it's just that way with the word of God. If we keep hearing it and it has no effect, then according to that definition, then we're insane. We can't expect anything different if we're not doing anything different. And if we're not hearing the word of God, we won't do anything different.
Right.
And in the same hand, if we're doing something and we don't get results, then maybe what we're doing and maybe our thinking is wrong.
Right.
And we need to reevaluate.
Exactly.
Because if we keep doing it and we keep doing it, always believing and expecting something,
right,
then maybe what we're expecting, what we're looking for, is the wrong thing.
Right.
We need to reevaluate. Because right. God doesn't leave us out there with a carrot in front of us.
Right.
You know, God doesn't do that.
Mm-hmm.
He said, God doesn't expect us to get spiritual enough to receive that carrot.
Mm-hmm.
You know, right. That's not the way God works.
Right.
He expects us to surrender enough to get that carrot.
No, he doesn't expect. Well, only, yeah, in the sense that he expects us to surrender to the word.
Right.
To the word, to an accurate understanding of the word.
And a commitment.
But he doesn't expect us, he doesn't give us a promise
that we can't
that we can't receive.
Yeah.
It's not a carrot that's always out there. We don't have to surrender in the sense of belief so that we can believe strong enough.
Right.
If it's a promise, like any promise of God, we can't get spiritual enough to obtain that promise.
Right. It's like having to get all spiritual the promises enough of God
are, saved. Yeah, the promises of God are a free thing that God gives to us, his word, so that we can receive those things through faith, and we can't get spiritual enough to receive those things.
Because then it's a work to achieve it.
Right. Yeah.
You have to achieve it. You have to achieve a certain level to receive it.
Right.
It doesn't work.
No.
Because it is by faith.
You just take it, accept it, make use of it.
That's it.
Yeah.
By the word of God. That's right.
And at that moment that you do, you are receiving the promise of God.
Yeah, yeah.
Yes.
Amen.
It's that plain, that simple.
Yeah.
Because in James, we'll go back there now, chapter 1 and verse 19, he says, "Know this, my beloved brothers, let every person be quick to hear, slow to speak, slow to anger. For the anger of man does not produce the righteousness of God. Therefore, put away all filthiness and rampant wickedness, and receive with meekness the implanted word, which is able to save your souls. But be doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man who looks intently at his natural face in a mirror. For he looks at himself and goes away and at once forgets what he was like. But the one who looks into the perfect law, the law of liberty, and perseveres, being no hearer who forgets, but a doer who acts, he will be blessed in his deed. So there you have it. You look into the perfect law, the law of liberty, and persevere or continue in it.
Yeah.
And that means every day, all day long, you continue in that. And you persevere, and perseverance has an element of having strength to carry on. And the Word of God says that they that wait upon the Lord will renew their strength. That he gives strength to the weary.
Amen.
And so if we're growing weary, and James also says that not to grow weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. So our reliance is on God, but in persevering we are blessed. We are blessed in that we know his strength. We know his grace.
And that continual exercise on a daily basis, like what you're saying, mm-hmm. is what strengthens us for future,
yeah,
whatever that might come our way.
Yeah, we're applying the word daily.
Yeah, and we grow strong
mm-hmm.
and more able.
So, you know, there's a, we've all heard plenty of prosperity preaching, you know, and promises that are taken out of context. And out of the context of the Word of God. I mean, mm-hmm. almost completely removed from the Bible, these verses that are isolated to claim pleasures and possessions. Mm-hmm. And it's not God's way at all.
Amen.
You know, you read God's Word, and especially David and Solomon in writing Proverbs, continually they're saying, teach me your ways that I might understand your ways. The ways of God are the ways that God walks in.
Amen.
That's the way God is. And if we want to understand him, we have to enter into that way. And the way of God is being disciplined. It's receiving instruction. Mm-hmm. And it's living according to his word. But the prosperity teaching and preaching doesn't tell you that.
Right.
It forgoes all of that, and it acts on a faith that is unsupported, unsubstantial. There's no grounds for that kind of faith.
Amen.
It's a false belief, a false hope.
And it's a total distraction from the Word of God.
It's a distraction, and it's deadly.
It totally focuses you on the material
mm-hmm.
and the now.
Mm-hmm.
And it takes your heart away from the Word of God.
Yeah, it has no basis in reality.
Get so excited about your Cadillac, you can't think about praying.
Yeah,
mm-hmm.
and then claim that God's blessing you because you have material possessions.
Mm-hmm. But the guy that doesn't is not blessed by God.
Right.
There must be something wrong mm-hmm. with him.
Yeah. Obviously, your thinking is wrong.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, they misunderstand the Old Testament where God did bless. God worked in a more physical way in the Old Testament mm-hmm. to demonstrate
right.
spiritual principles. Those were more types and shadows for our day.
Right.
Back then, he would bless an individual with physical blessings like land and wealth, like he did Abraham and different ones. But that was just to demonstrate his presence with the individual. And wealth back then didn't even demonstrate necessarily always that God was with the individual. There were people that were wealthy.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Or ungodly.
Yes.
And like Matt and Nancy were saying, it's just a distraction. Jesus said, how hard is it for rich men to enter into the kingdom of God?
Right.
So they're preaching something that makes it hard to enter into the kingdom of God.
Mm-hmm.
Those that will be rich will fall into hurtful lusts, which mm-hmm. drown in destruction. Some mm-hmm. have coveted after it, pierced themselves through many sorrows. Mm-hmm.
Yes.
So it is very another gospel.
Right. Yeah. And unfortunately, that's basically the story of Solomon's life. You know, where Solomon was wiser than any man that ever lived and given that wisdom of God. But the wealth and everything that came along with it just totally corrupted his heart. It's not that a wealthy man can't be faithful and true.
Right.
Because I'm sure that there are plenty that are.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
But it's just something extra to be cautious of.
Mm-hmm.
That wealth is more often destructive.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You know. Because it brings fame
distraction
and unfaithful friends.
Mm, right.
Well, like Chrissy said, you don't covet it if that's the desire of your heart. If that's what you're really wanting and hungering for, then that's where the problem lies.
Like Jesus said, so is everyone that is rich, but not towards God.
So perseverance is continuing even when it doesn't seem that it's doing any good. I mean, perseverance is work. Basically, it's continuing in a way. And when we know what God desires of us, in Psalm chapter 1 and verses 1 and 2, it said, "Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of scoffers. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law he meditates day and night." So to ponder or to give serious thought and consideration to selected information with the possible implication of speaking in low tones, reviewing the material.
That's interesting.
Yeah. So there's an exercise here that needs to be in our lives, applying the Word of God. And if we find ourselves not delighting in the law of the Lord, it's because we're not interacting with it enough. So a surface look at meditation without much further thought would be just thinking about scriptures. But real meditation, it starts out thinking about them, but then questions ought to arise because of the language barrier. And not only the language barrier, but the high loftiness of God's thoughts. It ought to bring questions to our minds. You know, do we understand it? Are we living this? Are we applying it? So it takes a delving into it to make sure that we have a right perception of what God is saying. Are we grasping the intent of His Word? And not just think that by thinking about it, that we're actually going to affect change in our lives.
Right.
We might, to a limited degree, but if we want to know God, if we want to walk in the way that He walks, then we have to understand what He's saying. And that's the only way, like in Deuteronomy chapter 4 and verse 10 that we read, that I may let them hear my words so that they may learn to fear me. And later on, we'll get into the word fear. But we can see in that one verse alone, and not that it's unsupported that we have to take this one verse alone, but there are a multitude of verses along this same vein to hear and to fear God. And this is not to be in terror of Him.
I think, too, there in that verse, it's so important to recognize that God spoke His Word to be understood. And He didn't speak in some heavenly language that we have to only understand through some special revelation from the Spirit of God. But He spoke in intelligible human language. He spoke it so that we could understand it. That's such an important thing to recognize when we are hearing and wanting to understand the Word of God, is that we don't take it as some super spiritual message that it can't be understood in human language.
Right. At the same time, we can't assume, like, the things of God are not understood by the carnal mind either.
That's right. So that when it requires that an individual is saved,
right,
and has the Spirit of God,
right,
so that we can understand
it. Yes.
But if we are saved, if we receive that relationship with God, that born-again experience, we have the ability to understand the Word of God.
Right. Right.
And we maintain our fellowship with God.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we maintain prayer and our...
Right. Just, yeah.
It requires effort, like you were
right.
saying. It requires a diligent pressing in, studying the Word of God, deep meditation, because the Word of God is deep.
Right.
It's not... We can't get it just by a surface reading.
Right.
And
just like a child can't grasp the instruction of a parent. I mean, as an adult, you can say things that children would not grasp because they don't have the experience.
Yes.
They don't know why that is true.
Right.
Exactly.
Even though they might agree with you.
outwardly.
Yeah.
Because
yeah, there's basic principles, as like a child, there's basic principles that a child has to learn in order to understand deeper mm-hmm. things.
Right. And so it is spiritually.
Yeah, it's the same way spiritually. We go to grade school first, then we go to junior high, and then we go to college. You know,
and the key is what you said, being born again. Before yeah. you're saying, yeah, I'm just not really interested.
Yeah.
I don't really get what it's saying. Mm-hmm. That's who you are.
Right.
But once you're born again, it registers.
Yes.
But with that, and with the understanding that it does require that effort of study, in the very same way it does for a child growing up and learning the things that he does through school, in school, grade school, you know, middle school and high school and college, we learn the Word of God the same way Amen. Through time.
That's right.
So consider Psalm 119 and verses 97 through 104. Oh, how I love your law. It is my meditation all the day. Your commandment makes me wiser than my enemies, for it is ever with me. I have more understanding than all my teachers, for your testimonies are my meditation. I understand more than the aged, for I keep your precepts. I hold back my feet from every evil way in order to keep your word. I do not turn aside from your rules, for you have taught me. How sweet are your words to my taste, sweeter than honey to my mouth. Through your precepts I get understanding, therefore I hate every false way. So David, we see the desire of his heart. We see when he says that how much he loves the law of God. I think anybody would be challenged to be able to say the same words that David says here, and couldn't be said lightly. And I don't think David's just being whimsical or flippant when he talks about his love for the Lord, because he says, it is my meditation all the day. So whatever he's doing, at every opportunity, his mind goes back to God and his word. And because of that, we can see he's being blessed in his doing, as James says, as we read that verse in chapter 1 and verse 25, because he says, I understand more than the aged, for I keep thy precepts. I hold back my feet from every evil way. That in itself is a blessing, that the ability to do that in order to keep your word. I do not turn aside from your rules. There's a steadfastness there, a stability, for you have taught me. How sweet are your words to my taste, sweeter than honey to my mouth. And that benefit of recognizing the value of God's word is an inestimable blessing of itself, to be able to perceive the word of God the way it really is. Not just how he came to perceive it, but that is the way it is, whether we perceive it that way or not. In 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 15, it says, and how from a child you have been acquainted with the sacred writings, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. And that word wise, it means to cause a person to have wisdom and understanding. To cause to understand, to cause to be wise, to make wise. And then it gives it, which is able to make you wise unto salvation, that is, cause you to have the wisdom that leads to salvation. And this salvation isn't just the coming to a knowledge of your sins forgiven, but the knowledge of salvation is an understanding that this salvation is all-inclusive. It carries through to the redemption of our bodies. It's the whole of salvation that we will come to when we pass from this life.
Right, because we've only partaken of it in part right now.
Yeah.
But we will partake of it in its entirety.
Mm-hmm.
And shall be brought to pass the saying, death is swallowed up in victory.
Yeah, right. Well, there you go. Resurrection. So, I mentioned 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verses 16 before. But along with that, 17, says, all scripture is breathed out by God and is profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, equipped for every good work. And what a wealth that is, that we receive the word of God and that we take it in and consider it for every facet of our lives, because it is profitable for teaching, for instruction, for correction. The words breathed out by God are bolded there in verse 16, and also in Psalm 119 and verse 72, the law of your mouth is better to me than thousands of gold and silver pieces. And David, you know, knew what wealth was as king of Israel, but he valued God's word above all that. And you know, it never ceases to amaze me how David was not ashamed of the word of God and of trusting the word of God, even in the presence of other princes, of other kings. Mm-hmm. You know, and I just love that he was so, he had no regard for their opinions as anything that would dissuade him from following the word of God. Psalm chapter 25 and verses 12 through 14. Who is the man who fears the Lord? Him will he instruct in the way that he should choose. His soul shall abide in well-being, and his offspring shall inherit the land. The friendship of the Lord is for those who fear him, and he makes known to them his covenant. So isn't that the real riches? Isn't that the whole point of salvation? That's the whole of it in a nutshell, is to know God. Amen. To know his covenant. Amen. That is the true riches. That's the treasure that we look for. What did Paul say? He said he counted it all but dung that he might attain to the knowledge of Christ. And he even went so far as to say that he desired to know
the fellowship of his Son.
That's it.
Be made conformable unto death.
Yeah.
If by any means I might attain to the resurrection.
Right. Yeah, so that was Paul's, the force of his striving. Mm-hmm. You know, that was what he had set before him. Because if he understood that, if he knew the sufferings of Christ, then he would be in fellowship with him. And not that he would strive to be persecuted, but that he just lived according to God's word in his life, the way God was leading him. He was called to be an apostle. He was called to have understanding. And so he walked accordingly.
I love how he says, None of these things move me, neither count of my life dear unto myself.
Right.
He said, I was determined to know nothing save Jesus Christ and him crucified.
Yeah.
Because he could care less about this present world.
Right.
Amen.
Yeah.
And that's where we go, and like you were saying, we don't look for persecution.
Right.
But that was Paul's calling.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't that he was called to be persecuted, but God had called him to a certain task as a unique individual.
Right. Just like many of our brothers and sisters in the world right now.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah, there's individuals that have certain unique positions that they're called to, you know, that they do.
And there's a glory in suffering. He said, if you suffer with him, you'll also be glorified with him.
Yeah.
He said, this suffering in this present world are not worthy to be compared to the glory that shall be revealed.
Yeah.
So there is definitely a fellowship there, I believe, that the Lord is certainly there.
Well, and too, we have, if we're living the Christian life and we're walking before God according to truth, there's going to be a certain measure of persecution to anybody that does.
Right.
That is faithful to God.
Not, but here it's like, oh, they hurt my feelings. Over there, they're going to shoot you.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, it's a different world. But the Lord's there for both people, of course.
Right. It's still... There's still difficulties, even mm-hmm. here in America.
Yeah, there is.
You know, there's challenges here in America.
And the Lord cares, yeah.
Well, and then you could take that and you could say, well, the people in an Eastern country that are risking their lives every day and they're still serving God, they're much more spiritual than someone in America.
Right.
But they don't have the same temptations, possibly, that someone in America is turning their face away from every day.
Right. And the Lord sees it all exactly.
And God knows exactly what we're doing. And we can't really compare ourselves among ourselves or we're going to be unwise.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But, you know, Philippians chapter 3 was when is many of those verses we quoted from. And I like this one. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus.
Mm.
And that prize was serving God every day.
Yes.
And he just pressed for that, to just to be obedient to God's will, no matter what happened. And to know, like you said, that relationship with God is the essence of serving God.
Yeah.
And it does take perseverance, because many times our prayers are not answered the way we feel they should be answered.
Mm-hmm.
And that's discouraging, because we believe this is God's will and we're praying to that end, and something else happens. That can discourage an individual and bring doubts and bring concerns. But there's where faith comes in, that God knows.
Mm-hmm.
And it's all in His hands. And that's where trust, because of what is in the Word of God and how faithful God has been throughout eternity, we know we can trust God.
Yeah.
You know, perseverance is maintaining in the face of difficulties.
And disappointments.
And disappointments, when there doesn't seem to be anything going right. It's maintaining our confidence in God.
And even when we fell, we still have to say, our confidence is in God. He will lift me up.
Yeah.
Turn away from the failure, turn towards God, and keep on serving Him.
Yeah.
I've always, and that's so precious, because how He said, this one thing I do, forgetting those things that are behind and pressing forth for those things that are before. Could you imagine the regret in His life? I mean, if you were killed fellow Christians, you know what I mean? You persecute them to strange cities, even unto death, because children to become orphans because of your what you've done, that would have to affect you, even if once you got saved, you know what I mean? Talk about regret. So like, for Him to do that was very important for Him, you know?
Right.
And of course, with our little things that we deal with, us as well, you know?
Right, amen. It's very applicable.
Yeah.
Yeah. So in Psalm chapter 25 and verse 14, He says, the friendship of the Lord is for those who fear Him. And then in Psalm chapter 22 and verse 23, you who fear the Lord, praise Him. All you offspring of Jacob, glorify Him, and stand in awe of Him, all you offspring of Israel.
Amen.
So fear is reverence pertaining to respect toward a superior. Can we say we respect God when we don't regard what He says?
Yeah.
Or we don't take the time to really hear what He's saying, understand what He's saying.
Mm-hmm.
And to reverence His word, give it the place in our lives as the single guiding force. So that fear of God is a respect, it's a reverence for God's word, and to make sure that we're paying attention when we're reading God's word and meditating on it. In James chapter 4 and verse 10, He says, humble yourselves before the Lord and He will exalt you. So the theme through all of this is, as the title of the file, He will be blessed in His doing. And when we read Psalm 25 and verses 12 through 14, who is the man who fears the Lord? Him will He instruct in the way that he should go. To have the instruction of God in our lives is precious.
Amen.
That the God of eternity is giving us the opportunity to really learn truth in life. Not just to have a volume of knowledge in our heads, but to have it in our hands, in our feet, in our everyday lives. You know, when we're having difficulty in situations or in relations or in circumstances, whatever it might be, God is there to equip us for every area of life, in every detail of our lives, that we might know Him. So to receive instruction for every bit of that and every bit of it.
I think it's so precious that you just read the friendship of the Lord is for those that fear him.
Mm-hmm.
Jesus said, I've not called you servants, but friends.
Right.
I mean, all things known unto you from my Father.
Yeah, that's so good.
And the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom.
Mm-hmm. It's the beginning.
It's beginning.
Yeah. To respect him, to reverence him.
It's also the beginning of knowledge.
Mm-hmm. It's the gateway.
Mm-hmm.
So that fear is such a good thing to remind ourselves of. Isaiah 57:15, for thus says the one who is high and lifted up, who inhabits eternity, whose name is holy, I dwell in the high and holy place, and also with him who is of a contrite and lowly spirit, to revive the spirit of the lowly and to revive the heart of the contrite. It seems a continual effort to humble ourselves.
Yes.
To continue there.
Yes.
To take God's word over our own thoughts.
I think that's so, you know, as maintaining in prayer and meditation of the word and all is this humility. We won't have an accurate perspective of the word of God if we're not humble.
Right.
You know, if we're lifted up in some measure, sometimes we can be lifted up and not recognize that we're exalted.
Mm-hmm.
You know? There's times when we can be proud of how much knowledge we have of the word. We can be so spiritually minded.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we can that we can miss out on what the word of God is saying.
Mm-hmm.
We can be lifted up in pride because we have so much of the word of God memorized, or so much of it, or so much understanding of it. You know, we can fancy ourselves to be somebody.
Right.
That's only going to hinder our understanding of the word.
Right. Yeah.
And
yeah.
Stop us dead in our tracks.
Yeah.
In serving God. We won't go any further.
The word of God is so faithful to try us.
Yeah.
To cause us to, you know, if we'll be aware of it, it's there to try us.
Yeah.
You know, that perfect law of liberty, we can continually have it before us. And, you know, in Romans chapter 12 and verse 3, he says, for by the grace given to me, I say to everyone among you not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think with sober judgment, each according to the measure of faith that God has assigned. So it's God's perspective.
Right.
So when I put down the note under Isaiah 57:15 about a humbling thought that we accept that we're weak, foolish, poor, low, despised, that's according to the verse in 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verses 26 through 31. He says, for consider your calling, brothers, not many of you were wise according to worldly standards. Not many were powerful. Not many were of noble birth. But God chose what is foolish in the world to shame the wise. God chose what is weak in the world to shame the strong. God chose what is low and despised in the world, even things that are not, to bring to nothing things that are, so that no human being might boast in the presence of God.
Amen.
And because of him, you are in Christ Jesus, who became to us wisdom from God, righteousness and sanctification and redemption. So that, as it is written, let the one who boasts boast in the Lord.
Yeah.
So it's easy to get caught up in self-degradation. I don't agree with saying how stupid we are, or how we're so dumb, we're just like sheep. You know, we're just like dumb animals.
Yeah.
That's, no. That's not according to truth. Because God hasn't called us to be that way, or to think of ourselves as being that way.
Amen.
But to think soberly, just as he doesn't want us to be exalted.
And that's the point of this scripture.
Right.
Primarily is for the ones that might get exalted.
Right.
You know, just remember that God chose the dumb, the foolish.
Right.
And that's what you are in comparison to God. But not that he wants you to think of yourself and
right.
Bring yourself low.
Right.
It's just consider who you really are.
Right.
In perspective.
Yes. Yeah. Yes. That's really good. Because there's a danger in thinking that we can manufacture humility by calling ourselves stupid.
Yes.
Or dumb, or to think that God thinks of us as that.
Yeah.
Right.
You know, that's going beyond what the scriptures say.
Yeah, that's
right. That's a false humility.
Yeah.
And it's something to be avoided.
Yeah.
But the whole point of all of this is to recognize that, like James said, he is blessed in his doing. That is faith. And throughout these scriptures, you know, there was a theme. And not that I had to wrestle the scriptures to make it say this, but the Word of God shows a prosperity spiritually that we can have with God. And it's not a secret prosperity, you know, as though it were only attained by a few, but it is the will of God.
Amen.
For all that are saved.
Amen.
This is just the way God is. This is the way God exists. This is His way.
Amen.
That in knowing and being obedient to Him, we know a wealth of knowledge and understanding. We know a prosperity of life. When Jesus said that He came to give life, and that more abundantly, it wasn't in the abundance of material possessions. It was in life, knowing God, relying on Him, you know, in every walk of life, that He is near, He is ever present in the time of need, that our rejoicing, whether it be in affliction or in favorable situations, is that it's God. We have all this of God.
Amen.
We didn't deserve it, but He's so gracious.
Amen.
You know, He's so kind. He's long-suffering to us. Word.
Amen.
You know, it's just so reassuring.
Praise the Lord.
And to recognize the blessing of God isn't just being happy all the time.
No.
You know, but there is an undercurrent of peace, whatever situation we might find ourselves in, a confidence.
Yeah.
Amen.
That we are in the will of God.
That He knows.
Yeah. So that is so valuable, especially in this world that we live in today, to recognize that regardless of what's going on the outside, and we do find ourselves at times in one or the other, in favorable situations or things that seem narrow. We find ourselves in those different situations at different times, but there's always that relationship with God that causes us to be in an even plane.
Yeah.
You know, to an evenness of temperament. And, you know, we see Jesus in every situation, just the Son of God. And not as though that were a small thing. But He wasn't thrown out of off kilter,
right,
with circumstances and situations.
Yeah.
Amen.
He wasn't fretting at any time or overly euphoric when things went the way they should. But, you know, He had a right perspective, a sobriety about Him.
A confidence in God.
Yeah, you know, that's what is worth striving for. And it's to that end that it's that conformity that we're looking for in our lives, to be walking in conformed to the image of Christ.
That takes following the Lord, following the Word.
Mm-hmm. And that's doing exactly what Jesus did.
Exactly.
Following in His steps.
In His steps.